enter into this time of unfolding God's word here in the Gospel of Matthew, let us begin with prayer. O Lord, our God, we give you thanks for these words which are before us. A gift, really, a revelation of who you are. Lord Jesus, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would speak to us by these words today, each at our point of need. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're in the second Sunday of Advent. Last week, we started a new sermon series on the unusual Savior. We talked a little bit about the unusual relationships, those relations especially that Jesus had in his lineage, and we even heard read for us today about the beginning of God's work with Israel, about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And though the relatives of Jesus, though the line of Jesus, his genealogy from which he came is not perfect exactly, we learned and hopefully were encouraged that if God can use those unusual characters, then certainly God can use us. Well, that's our hope and our prayer, at least. Today, we're looking at the unusual circumstances that surrounded the birth of Jesus from the perspective of Joseph. I believe that Joseph finds himself in the unusual circumstance. Think about it for a minute. His betrothed is now with child by the power of the Holy Spirit. How many times does that happen? Once. Just so we're clear, it happened once and will not happen again. And yet, Joseph, of all those in the story of Jesus, I believe, is ripped off when it comes to our celebration of his faithfulness. I mean, there's no song that's entitled, Joseph, Did You Know? We don't have in our Christian faith, in some denominations, a Hail Joseph, full of grace, do we? We don't, as some do, I think erroneously, worship Joseph. And that's a good thing. But Joseph, of all of those who are accounted for in the Gospels as one who goes through this unusual circumstance of the birth of the Messiah, truly lives a life of faithfulness, a life from which we can learn. When it comes to circumstances, Joseph finds himself in an unusual one. And there are some key things about circumstances that I think we must understand as we begin to unfold this text. The first is that circumstances change. We happen to live in the Tri-Cities. And in the Tri-Cities, our circumstances when it comes to weather change. My son Ezekiel turned 16 this week, and he's out on the roads, friends. Consider that a warning. Early in the week, as Ezekiel was driving, the roads were clear, things were nice, he had nothing to worry about. But then, what was it, about Tuesday or Wednesday, he finds himself out driving in snow and ice. And then he finds himself again driving on nice roads and warm conditions. I mean, I've never lived in a place, and I haven't lived that many places, but I've never lived in a place where the circumstances according to our weather change so dramatically and quickly. And so I said to him, son, you have to be prepared. And no matter what the circumstance you find yourself driving in, no matter what the weather's about, you still need to do the things that we taught you and the things that you learned. The second thing when it comes to circumstances is that they're often beyond our control. We like to think we control our circumstances, don't we? We like to be in charge. We like to be the boss. I'm one of those. I'm one of those control freaks that likes to make sure everything's going well and right and according to my plan. Because I have good plans. But I've found out in my years that I don't control much when it comes to my circumstances. Things happen around me that I have little control over. Most things that happen in my life, I have little control over. Same with our circumstances. Joseph has no control over his unusual circumstance. And then number three here, in the end, circumstances matter little. They don't really matter much, our circumstances. They can change our attitudes. They oftentimes change our feelings. But in the long run, they don't contribute much to the things that really matter in life. And so with that kind of background, that foundation of our understanding of circumstances, let's take a look at the Apostle Paul first, his encouragement on how we might live according to our circumstances. There are two scriptures the Apostle Paul writes to two churches that really kind of inform and influence us here. The first is from Philippians chapter 4. Paul writes, I am not saying this because I am in need, as he's asking for help. He says, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And so the Christian response to any circumstance that we find ourselves in, good, bad, or indifferent, is to be content in that circumstance. And what does it mean to be content? It doesn't mean to be happy. You see, I think our world is in a little bit of trouble, partly because we're looking to be happy. You know, psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, teachers, society around us, they say, pursue happiness. In fact, isn't that kind of in one of our governing documents, that we have a right to happiness? And yet, Paul doesn't say anywhere that we are to seek to be happy. Paul says, no, be content in those circumstances, in whatever circumstance. Contentment means to be satisfied in God. In fact, contentment means to say to oneself, God is enough for me. Just like last week when we were studying the unusual relatives of Jesus, we came to the conclusion that God can use me. As we studied the unusual circumstances of the infancy narrative of Jesus, we want to come to the end of this sermon and then think throughout this week as we ruminate on this reality that God is enough for me. That's what it means to be content. That in the midst of our circumstances, we find that God gives us comfort and peace. Not happiness, but comfort and peace and joy which transcends our circumstances. Which then leads us, as a second Christian response to circumstances, to be thankful. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, give thanks, says Paul, in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, we think about Paul for a moment, and of all the people in the history of the church, the Apostle Paul is probably the most qualified to say to us, be thankful in all circumstances. Why? Because his circumstances have changed a lot. In fact, he's probably writing this letter because he's imprisoned for the sake of Christ. He's been almost stoned to death. He's been shipwrecked, not once, not twice, but three times. Now, I don't know about you, but I would not be getting on a ship after the first time. But this guy, because God calls him to do it, because he's supposed to go out and preach the gospel, gets on the ship no matter what. And so he finds himself shipwrecked. He finds himself persecuted. He finds himself stoned almost to the point of death. In fact, they drug his body outside of the city thinking he was dead. But no, he just dusts himself off and goes on. So when Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, he knows what he's talking about. His life hasn't been easy, not at all. He knows the painful, hurtful circumstances of life. And so that's our Christian response to our circumstances, which change and are beyond our control, which in the end matter little. We are to be content and we are to give thanks. The question remains, though, how do we do that? And this is kind of nice. It's one of those platitudes of life that we say as a Christian, no matter what our circumstances, we ought to be content and give thanks. But how does one actually go about doing that? I would say that we can learn from Joseph here. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and pull out those, or there's a pew Bible there in front of you. We're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew. You can follow along on your Bible, on your phone, or in the bulletin. I believe that Joseph responds to this unusual circumstance to be content and to give thanks in the midst of it by doing three things. The first thing is that he is faithful to God's word. In verse 19, we hear from Matthew, Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. The law is the Bible of Joseph. That's the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books in the Old Testament, that's the Torah of Israel. And so that law was imprinted, I believe, on the heart of Joseph. He probably didn't have the scrolls in front of him. He certainly didn't have it on his iPhone. It was probably handed down to him orally, and he knew in his head and heart what those scriptures said. And so Joseph first responds to the circumstance by being faithful to God's word. You see, God's word ought to influence and inform us about our circumstances. You know, this week we had another mass shooting. In fact, more than one. And we remember especially the shooting in San Bernardino, which is not far from my home, which is where Norm's home was. And there were some, I remember a big headline that said, God is not helping. But is that true? Is that what God's word tells us? Has God left the building? We might be asking that question, where is God? But we would not know the scriptures. See, the scriptures inform and influence us as they informed and influenced Joseph. Here's the truth. We have God's promise of scripture. And Jesus promises, I will never leave nor will I forsake you. So when we ask the question, has God left the building? Or when we make the statement, God is not helping, we have lost sight of the word of God and the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, who rules and reigns still at God's right hand. We will profess that in our creed here in just a few minutes. God is helping. God is with us. God is sovereign. God will handle this and other situations in our world. And Joseph knew this to be true. And so Joseph was going to follow the law as he's informed and influenced by God's word. But not only was Joseph attentive to the word of God, but Joseph was also attentive and loving to his bride-to-be. And by the way, betrothed is different than our engaged. We think they're the same. They're not. Betrothed means a period of commitment in the first century between husband and wife. In fact, the law said, the word of God said, that he would need to get a letter of divorce to leave Mary. But he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. So though he was going to do the right thing, he was going to do it quietly. Why? Because he was not only faithful to God's word, but he was also faithful to Mary, which reminds us that when we are seeking to live accordingly and appropriately in our unusual circumstances, we can't forget the people around us. We too need to be faithful to one another. Relationships matter, especially in unusual circumstances. And yet, oftentimes we're so quick to throw out love and relationship. Joseph didn't. He knew what was right, and yet he responded by loving Mary. And then thirdly, if we go down to verse 24, after the angel of the Lord has interceded during a dream of Joseph, we find that Joseph woke up and he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. Lastly, and most importantly, Joseph was faithful to God, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God has other plans for us in the midst of unusual circumstances. Most often, it doesn't go according to our own will or our own way. Joseph was faithful to God's leading, to God's prompting, to God's moving by the Holy Spirit. And so our circumstances change without our control. We are called to be content, in fact, to give thanks no matter what the circumstance. And how do we do that? First, we are faithful to God's word. And second, I don't know if you caught this, you're usually ahead of me and pretty responsive. But secondly, we follow the great commandment. Did you see the great commandment here? What's the great commandment? Love God and love others. That's here. Joseph loved Mary, and Joseph loved God by following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so we too, perhaps, can respond by being faithful to God's word in every and all circumstance, to be faithful to each other, our neighbor, in every and all circumstances, to be faithful to God and the movement of the Holy Spirit in all and every circumstance. For in the end, we proclaim and say, God is enough for me. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.